Hey out there, and welcome to the local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host. And today, my guest, did you used to model? Were you a modeler?
No.
Never did?
Okay. Never modeled.
singer? Did you write songs?
No, I've never written a song. No.
Okay.
No.
Well, you've thought about writing songs.
I have thought about it, right?
I think yes. You could write songs. And along with a teacher here at local Holy Ghost School, teaching kindergarten?
Kindergarten.
Yes.
Yes.
And you're with us today. Andrea, thanks for coming in. And we're going to talk about a few things. You have a love for teaching reading, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, and a love for kids.
And a love for kids. Well, that's a combination.
Yes, it is.
You started off, but you didn't grow up here in Jerseyville.
No, no. Grew up in Florissant, Missouri.
Florissant, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And what'd you do in Florence? What'd your parents do?
My dad worked for Boeing and then GKN whenever it got switched over to GKN. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
But you were into singing?
Yes.
As a family? You had a family?
As a family group. My dad played the piano. My older sister, she was in the group. My younger brother. And then we had a bass singer. And he was not in the family. He was a friend of the family. And then we had a bass guitarist.
Yeah.
So, yes.
And where'd you sing at? What'd you do?
All over the town of Florissant and then nearby communities we would go to at nursing homes, churches, everywhere.
How old were you when you were doing this?
So, let's see. I was in elementary school and into junior high. So, we started probably at the age of five.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. How about the other kids, were they older or younger?
My older sister, so she's 4 years older than me.
Okay.
So she started before I did. But I started at the age of, around the age of five. So,
you know, I know you have a beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. You can sing like there's no tomorrow. And do you think that having a beautiful voice or having a good voice, you know, do you think that is innate? Or can somebody learn to sing? What do you think? What's your opinion?
I think both. I think that some people are naturally born with it. With the harmony of the family, I think that the being close-knit, when we sing together, the harmony is just there. And mm-hmm. we know when breathing, when we know when we need to take a breath.
Uh-huh. Yes.
The vibrato is all the same as you sing. But also, on the other hand, I think that someone could be trained to sing, to hear the tone, to have a better tone when they sing.
I suppose, was it your mother or your father that were the teachers as far as singing?
My father.
Yes.
Was, my dad was. So,
and,
yeah.
And was he a great singer as well?
Yes. And a wonderful, wonderful musician. He can play the piano as you would not believe. So, yeah.
Do you play instruments?
I do. I play the drums.
Yeah.
So I play the drums, but that's about it. So I tried to play the piano in college. I had a private teacher at CMSU, Central Missouri State. And
I'm surprised your dad didn't teach you.
Yeah. Well, he never really tried. I mean, he didn't. I didn't ever ask because we were traveling around. And so I was the lead singer. And so that's what we focused on. Not that he couldn't teach me, because he probably could have, but would I listen as a kid? That's the thing. So, mm-hmm. And I did, and I practiced, with my private instructor at CMSU, and after about 2 years, and I would even go into a little soundproof booth that they had at the colleges in their music program, because I got a scholarship for music to go there. So I was in their concert choir and everything. Uh-huh. But anyway, so I would try and try and try. And then one time she said, nope, this is not for you. So I said, okay.
Just stick with what you're good at.
Exactly. So, you know, there comes a time when you're like, okay, you know, but I did have, I, I did have good rhythm, and so I picked up the drums, and I can do I played the cantata, Easter cantata, at a church I used to go to back in Florissant. I played the timpani drums for their Easter cantata, which are those are hard drums because you have to do the notes and everything with a pedal.
Oh.
Just a slight pedal changes the whole note and everything. So I learned how to play that from Ernie Hayes. So
Ernie Hayes.
Uh-huh. So
that name sounds familiar.
Yes. Yeah. So
So you went to Florissant, you went to school at, would you say
Central Missouri State University. It's not that anymore. It's okay. It's changed names.
Okay.
It's in Warrensburg, Missouri, and I went there for 2 years.
Okay. And then where? Then what?
And then I transferred to Lindenwood. Mm-hmm. In St. Charles, Lindenwood University, the private college.
Now, I understand when you first went to school, first went to college, you were wanting to be a crime scene investigator.
Yeah, yes. Ooh. Yeah, criminal justice. CMSU was known for their criminology program.
Yeah.
So that's what I went to, originally intended to go to school for.
How come you wanted to do that? You watch a lot of shows?
No, not really. I wasn't a TV watcher. I was an avid reader.
Uh-huh.
I read all the time. I guess I just wanted to make sure that I kept the people safe.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm for fighting the bad guys. I am. So, and then I switched over to elementary ed because I thought, you know what? Criminology, you catch them after they've already done the crime. So as a teacher, I can maybe instill some goodness in them, some morals. And catch them when they're younger.
Yeah, get them early.
Get them early. Make sure they don't turn bad. So,
so you're teaching. You got out of school and you went to Florissant and start teaching again.
Teaching in Florissant. So right after I graduated, I got a job in Florissant, Halse Ferry Elementary, as a second grade school teacher, and taught there for 5 years. And at that time, during teaching, I met my husband, and
Sean.
Yes. Yeah.
Where'd you meet Sean at?
I met him at a church.
Yeah.
Which
church?
It wasn't. It turned into a church, but it wasn't originally a church.
Okay. You met him at a church.
No, we didn't. No. It was at a place called In Cahoots in Earth City.
Oh yeah,
so
I've heard of that.
Across from Dave and Buster's, but it's not existent anymore.
And it was a very, very nice place.
Oh,
very
yes.
Very calm.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So,
okay,
yeah.
So you're there and you're hanging out.
And I got talked into going to watch some of the colleagues of mine that I was teaching with in Florissant to go. They line danced every Wednesday night. So I did not line uh-huh. dance because I honestly was not a country music fan
mm-hmm.
at the time. Now,
yeah.
Now I am. But so I went and I watched them line dance. And the very first time I was there, Sean walked in.
Was he a line dancer?
He was not a line dancer. He two-stepped and cha-cha'd and things like that.
Yeah.
But he walked over to me with his big cowboy hat and belt buckle, and
there
you go. So,
so it was all over.
It was.
So when you guys were on your first date, did you go to another place like that?
So that was when we met. We met there, and then we met up a few other times there. You know, mm-hmm. I kept seeing him. We didn't go out immediately.
I see.
So I would not give him my number.
You were playing hard to get.
I was, and so he gave me his, and then I had to wait a couple weeks before I called him.
And then it was a love at first sight or love at first date?
It really was. So we...
you guys do... You look good together.
Thank you.
Yeah. You make Sean look a lot better, I can tell you that.
I don't know about that. But so we you know, just normal dating things. Movies and like that. And we still went to In Cahoots because we liked to line dance. Or I line danced then. I learned how. And then him and I would cha-cha together. And went with his family to the lake because we still go to the Lake of the Ozarks a lot. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. For the listeners, I have Andrea Isringhausen with me today talking about her experiences. And then you started teaching and then you finally ended up in Jerseyville, I guess, after you got married.
So got married, and then about a year later, got pregnant with our first daughter, Carmen.
Uh-huh.
And while I was pregnant, I finished up my last year at Halls Ferry Elementary. And then I stayed at home mm-hmm. after I had Carmen, and who is soon to be 22 this coming Friday. So, yes. So anyway, so then I stayed at home with her, and then 15 months later got pregnant again, or had another, not pregnant again, had another child, so Stetson. So mm-hmm. they're 15 months apart. So
is that the kind of hat that Sean wore, a Stetson?
Yes, yeah. He said he always wanted to be named Stetson.
Ah.
And so honestly, he named Carmen too. So he named Carmen and then he named Stetson. So yeah. It was just his dream name was Stetson.
Did you get to name the dogs?
Huh? No, I don't think so. Well, no, honestly, no. When I was teaching in Florissant, he has Australian Shepherds. So I was reading the book Shiloh, that's the name of the book, to my second graders. And whenever he brought the Australian Shepherd, who was a puppy, to the school, the kids named him. Got to name their first dog.
We actually bought one of your dogs.
Years
ago. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, when the kids were little, we got one.
Oh.
When we named him Scamp. He was Scampy.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we had one of your dogs, Australian
okay.
Shepherds.
What was it? Was it like a blue Merle, red Merle tribe?
I think it was a red Merle.
Red Merle, pretty.
Nice dog.
See,
very
that was
dog.
Like Shiloh. Shiloh was a red Merle.
Yes.
So now we have the mom and the dad. So we have Panda, who's a tri, and we have
Do you guys still
Chubs.
Raise dogs and so
oh,
on?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So
the Australian Shepherd is a,
very
a cool
smart,
dog.
Very smart. Mm-hmm. Yes. Easily to train. But they're outdoor dogs. They yes. need to be outside with large places to run.
Like, so. And they love to chew. Got little teeth, very sharp.
Well, all puppies do.
I know.
All puppies do, yeah. So.
Now, talking before the interview, and you've said this before, how you really love teaching reading to mm-hmm. children.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
So what do you love about it?
What do I love about teaching reading?
Yeah.
Seeing the growth. Knowing where they come in, especially with teaching kindergarten. So when they come in, a lot of them do not know their alphabet. So now with going to our pre-K, some of them come in knowing the alphabet, but even knowing those beginning sounds and teaching them that, and then showing them some different phonetic tools that we have to teach them those sounds, and watching them grow is amazing.
Yeah.
And then they're able to put those sounds together to make words and then be able to read. So
for young mothers at home, or mm-hmm. fathers,
sure.
okay, that have young ones, and boy, reading is so important for
it
children.
It is, for everything.
Yes. And
everything.
Yeah, it is. And mm-hmm. What are your suggestions for young parents with young kids to get them spurred on to love reading, you know, and what do you...
Reading to them. Yeah. So, I mean, if you know, being young, sometimes kids are able to say, I like puppies, or I like to, you know, reading books about those things that they love. So at night to them. So that's the thing. And then being able just to talk about the books with them as they're reading together.
Mm-hmm.
But I always say, you know, not only the reading, but as far as getting them a jump start on knowing their sounds by watching, it's Jack Hartman. It's called The Better Alphabet. If they listen to this every day, it gets them just pumped up for knowing their sounds, ready to enter kindergarten knowing those sounds. That background knowledge is so important. So,
know the
yeah.
sounds.
Mm-hmm. Knowing yes. their sounds, yep.
Any certain books that are great books for kids?
For kids?
Great kids
well,
books?
Well, I mean, like I said, it depends on what they like.
Yeah.
So a lot of the, like, end of kindergarten, a lot of my students were reading Junie B. Jones,
uh-huh.
Which is chapter books. In kindergarten, they're reading chapter books.
Wow.
Yeah. Owl Diaries, they like those. younger books,
How about the Bernstein Bears? That was popular.
Know, it was when we were, but not so much anymore. No? And I Bernstein Bears are Christian based, so we sometimes will watch, like to learn a lesson about, you know, don't, you know, being bossy or you know, listening to your mom and dad. We'll put on some Bernstein Bear videos, you know.
We had a stack of those.
Yeah. But as far as the reading, we have those in the classroom. Not many of the students check those out, though. So no.
Yeah.
I think it's because they don't know who they are. Maybe I needed to do a better job of introducing those. So
you've been teaching, and you're still now. You taught reading starting, and then you went into
2009. I started reading the helping with the struggling readers at the school. So I would do. The kindergarten all the way up through, you know, the fourth grade, helping them one-on-one, but also taking them with me in small groups.
Does reading and writing go hand in hand, do you think?
I believe so. Yeah, I really do. Because as their reading improves, they're able then to write. But you can still write with picture writing and formulate those thoughts on that paper with just using pictures. And so that can start at a pre-K age where, okay, well, tell me what you drew. Oh, okay, this is what I drew. Oh, well, what's going to happen next? Draw that for me. Well, and that's what books do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, fiction books will take you through, okay, beginning, middle, end. And so if you're writing a story, start with pictures. And then you're able to, okay, now give me maybe one or two words that describe the picture, and then you're able to write about those. So, yeah, I believe they go hand in hand. Yes.
You know, one thing I noticed, okay, kids, I don't know, you know, I just don't, do they spend as much time learning how to print and write now as opposed to like 40 years ago? Is that still?
At our school it is.
Is it?
It is, yeah. I mean, we do a lot of printing, and as far as you mean, like the cursive writing going into cursive or just handwriting?
Cursive and just printing.
Yes, yes. So kindergarten first, second, we really hone in on those writing skills, knowing how to write. We give them writing time. Third grade, it gets a little bit harder, but they do still do the writing where they have to maybe write in their journal. And formulate good paragraphs, maybe do some reports, and in fourth grade and so on. So yes, our school is very good with doing that.
George's, you know, I had chalkboards. And if you've ever been George's, I got four chalkboards in out front, and then I have behind the bar chalkboards, and we would change those chalkboards every day, you know. And I did a lot of it. Because I thought I could print fairly well, you know, so I would do them. And then I would have, when I wouldn't have time, I would have other bartenders, waitresses, or waiters, whatever, do the chalkboards, right? And give them a list of what to do, and they would do it. There was some people that could really do a good job. And
their handwriting was really good.
Beautiful. Oh, okay. You know, okay. Handwriting was just, wow, everything was just perfect.
Right.
There's others that looked like they were about a second grader.
Right.
I mean, they were grown people. But right. They could.
Well, but look at doctors.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
True.
I mean, you can't read a lot of the doctor's handwriting. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, if they're able to read it and be able to tell you what they wrote, you know what
I don't
I'm
know
saying?
How, there's one person in particular, I won't mention Rich's name. Oh, sorry. But I'm like, how'd you get out of third grade?
But Rich is very smart. So see, yeah.
I just didn't know today if they're going straight to tablets and
No. We start with the handwriting. So we even put it like into little pictures where you have the sky, you have the grass, and you have the dirt. And that's what the paper shows. And so we'll say, okay, does that letter, does that go up into the sky? Like the K, the letter K. The letter K will start at the top and come down to the grass. you know, and yeah. So I mean, it's just a good visual for kids to see, for knowing how to print. So
is there any direction, any tips that you can give young parents? Uh-huh. Okay. Or even grandma and grandpa, uh-huh, maybe have their little ones staying with them to make them better printers or better at cursive. Any suggestions?
Well, I mean, okay. So cursive, we start cursive in second. Mm-hmm. To write, you have to practice writing. And so what I did with my two when they were young, I would squirt shaving cream on the table.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm saying. And that's a good idea.
Yeah. And so they would take their finger and I would show them how to do it. And I had a
routine. Did you just come up with this idea?
The shaving cream? Yeah. Oh, no. I had seen it someplace. I can't remember where. But anyway, and so I would show them how to do it. And then they would both make the letter A. And they would mimic me. And then we would go through the alphabet together. But they found it fun because it was done with, you know, and you can do that. Like if you fill a Ziploc baggie with different slime. Mm-hmm. Then they can press down on the Ziploc baggie and make the letter within the bag, you know, on top of the bag, make the letters, and then it just disappears, you know, or even into Play-Doh.
What you're suggesting is make it fun.
Make it fun.
Yeah.
Make it fun. And start with their name, things that they know, you know. So you start writing with, you know, making their name, first name, and then their last name, and yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah.
Before we end this interview, is there any tips that you would like to give to people that are trying to raise young people as far as print, reading and writing? Yeah. Any inside info?
Be engaged in your child's learning. Be a part of it. Mm-hmm. Be supportive of your kids. Know what they're doing in school. Mm-hmm. Know what they're learning. And even communicate with the teacher about, okay, what could you contribute at home as far as helping your child to succeed?
Mm-hmm. Because some kids, well, it'll be a little easier for some versus others.
Right. And that's what I enjoy about our school. I mean, we have the parent support wholeheartedly. I've never had a group of kids come through that I have not spoken with parents and they have not been supportive. So, and I think that's the key. They have to have supportive parents. So,
well, thanks so much, Andrea, for
coming
in today.
You're welcome.
And enjoy your summer.
Yes. Yeah. Hopefully with the weather. Now it'll start getting nice. So, right?
Yes. Well, you take care and thanks for coming in.
Thank you.